What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Steve Watt.
Oh, hello. Thank you, Ethan, Mitch.
One of the OGs from the Newcastle comedy scene.
I've been around forever.
So yeah. You were doing it before Buttsy started at the Crown and Anchor.
Yeah, I was doing it at the Oriental every Saturday. I was trying to think of where my first set was. It was in February 2009.
Fucking hell. That's a while ago.
Yeah, I was just moved from Scone to Newcastle. And I emailed the Newcastle Comedy website. And it was run by Brendan Knott then, who I'm still good friends with, Brendan Knott. And took him a month to check it. And then he went, just come by, it's an open mic.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, like, there's no booking. And that was an interesting place, that one.
The Ori.
Yeah, Ori. It had its charm.
Yeah, we were there for the live filming of fucking, what's his face?
Matty B,
thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when he
was
filmed
that the
his...
audio one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear his dumb laugh in the front row. Cacking himself.
Yeah. No, it was all right. If you could, I'd imagine he would have done well. He would have filled it full of everyone he knew, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
That's the best way. Well, when you tape something, you want it to be great. So you'd fill it full of everyone. People would have bought tickets. And if you can fill that space with people who you know are going to laugh, then it'll go off.
Yeah, that's how it works.
It's close.
Yeah, small room.
It's real close. Everyone's in front of you and there's no... You can't turn... If you turn left or right, there's no fucking audience. It's just randomly there.
Yeah.
Because I've done plenty of shows where you come out... I did one in Sydney where you come out and the stage was like a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a crowd, like, nearly behind you.
Mm.
And you're like, which way do you even face? And then the first couple comics do that joke about which way we're going to face and, like, should I perform here and here? And it's funny for the first couple guys... But then by the time you go up halfway, everyone's like, yeah, the stage is weird. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because no one listens to anyone else's set and realises that joke's already been made.
Yeah, and so the crowd is just like, fuck it, doesn't matter, mate. Just get over it. Mate.
Yeah.
So I've done plenty. But is there anything we actually talk about? Are you just going
to...
Just talk shit, mate.
Just talk shit. Great.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Anyone you hate in the scene that you really want to fucking name?
I'm not around, so I don't really know anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know... From what I've seen when I have come to these open mics, it's just the classic open mic people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are very rough. Some of them could be good, but they're still rough. And then some of them are really good. But I don't really know who they are. There was one bloke when I was here last time he was too good looking. I don't know who he was, but I was like, you can't be successful.
Big tall fella.
Yeah, he was taller. Yeah, no, but he was like, no, he was young.
Oh, blonde hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I was like, fucking handsome, mate.
Cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
You need to be fucking sort of bit weird looking.
Yeah, you can't be a fucking normie.
Yeah.
Handsome motherfucker making women wet in the front row.
Nah,
fuck
doesn't
you.
Work. No, I half pass. I'll get a 5 out of 10, but then I smile and it goes down to a 3. What's wrong with his teeth?
Who is that? What's his name? Stole Louis C.K.'s jokes. What's his name? Who's really big? He's good looking. Does festivals. It was him and that Louis C.K. about the bit. Like, never mind. Do you know who I'm talking about?
There's really good looking. Fuck. It's not that hot boy comedian that's getting around, is it?
No, this was a while ago. So again, I'm dredging old shit. This is probably when I was paying attention to comedy. Yeah, no, but the Ori, it was great when it was on. And I'd seen some headliners kill there. Like I saw Mick Meredith at the Ori in that small room. And dead set, the windows were nearly breaking. How fucking good he was there. And Jack Barrett too. Yeah. You've seen Jack Barrett?
Yeah, he's come through here a few times.
He was a fucking puppeteer that night. Like, he dead set. And it was the best night. I remember I was so annoyed because us open micers actually did good before him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the room was just fucking, it was the best I've seen it that we'd set up.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm bored. So he just fucking ruined it to then bring it back. It was just like a fucking, he just put his dick out. And it was just like, we were all just going, this is fucked. Like,
what have you done?
And then he just went boom and then swung it back.
Yeah.
And just won him again. It was like watching a fucking magician.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. But then, but it could get really rough, the Ori.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Didn't someone get punched there or something?
Yeah, the MC got bashed in the toilets, yeah.
Who was that? Do you remember?
I can't remember his name. He wasn't a very good MC because he'd been up a couple times. But there was just this big rough bloke at the bar who was heckling, and then he was trying to give it back to him, but it wasn't very entertaining.
Mm.
And so then I think it was a break. The break happened. And the worst thing about it, though, is that the MC came with the headliner from Sydney. So when he got bashed in the toilets, we then had no headliner because they both left.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And for some reason, I don't know whose idea it was. I think because we were going to get the money.
Yeah.
We all went back up after the fill the spot because the headline money was going to go to us.
I think.
Because I kept wondering why the fuck would we go back up? You just stopped the show because it was fucking awful.
Yeah.
And we went back up and did not go well.
No.
Because they never want to see. They didn't want to see me once.
Yeah.
Were you doing different jokes second time?
No.
That'd be hilarious. You do the same five.
I was a pencil dick 5-minuter, so I probably had.
So you went up and did another five. I did a
tight five of mostly probably the same. I probably tried to do some early crowd work stuff, which is rubbish, basically.
Yeah.
But I'm still not good at crowd work. It's not my thing. But, like, yeah. Sorry, I'm
real. You were doing a bit of talking to the crowd last time you were here.
I do. I sort of do. I don't ask them questions, really.
Yeah.
I sort of just comment on anything they say.
Yeah.
It's sort of how I do it. But I'm not one of those. I'm not a legacy.
You're not out fishing for it. Yeah, you're just like, if someone says something, I'll.
Yeah. I'm not a Kyle Legacy where he's creating the show from crowd work. Like, that's a skill.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, that's not me. Like, do you boys do much crowd work?
A little bit.
If I ever do it, it's because I've got a bit that I can go into.
Yeah.
And I'll have it all planned out before. Like, it's very, like,
it's all
strategic. If they say this, I'll do this. If they say that, I'll do that. Like, I like to have it planned out. So I have done it a couple of times. I had a good one at the Crown and Anchor one time when I was fairly new. Yeah. Where I just, there were these boys that came in and they were just like heckling, yelling out shit. And I just engaged with them and like had a bit of a chat with them and then got a fucking big laugh, which was hard to do at the Crown and Anchor after they ran it in. Well, they changed it because they renovated it and then they put that wall in.
Oh, that was fucking shit.
And you know how you were saying, like that other gig, how you're in a corner and you don't know which way to perform. It was like that. There's people behind you chatting.
There's people behind you eating a taco. Bullshit.
So that was, it was really hard to like starting out doing spots there, trying to get laughs, and then got a good result from that.
It was upstairs.
Yeah.
It was upstairs where it was a gay nightclub, I think. It turned into a gay nightclub. And then we'd do an open mic there on whatever Tuesday nights, and there'd be like the stripper cages were still up. And then there was called like the Ice Bar. And then the...
Fuck, what a name.
Yeah,
it was, it's fitting.
It was called like something like that because the bar was actual, like, it looked like ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even, so your fucking drinks would fall over. That was early days of the Crown. And that's where, that wasn't Butterfield's first set, but I think it was his second.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. And then that was, did you boys start at the Crown?
Stag.
Stag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Stag was all right.
Stag
was good.
Yeah.
Still is.
Still all right. Yeah. It's fucking hard to get people out there, especially this day and age. Everyone's struggling. And just when we used to turn up to the Stag, the car park would be chockers.
Yeah.
But mostly just punters in there buying dinner and stuff like that. But now you turn up and it's like half empty.
Yeah.
You know, and then they all fuck off. So I've been trying to start the show a bit earlier so that I can do the walk around and try and round people up and get them in into the front bar for the show.
Yeah, rightio. Do you run it?
Yeah, I've taken over for Eddie.
What happened to Eddie?
Oh, she's just sick of it.
So he's just sick of running rooms. 100 shows.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
It is.
Brutal. Imagine it's trying to organise, because I remember Brendan, he had to try and organise a headliner and MC every week
yep.
for the open mic at the Ori. And he said that was a pain in the ass.
Mm.
Because he always had a headliner every week. With the open mic here, there's no headliner.
Yeah,
and most of them have a headliner? No, they don't.
No, we just book an MC.
Yeah, it's just an MC. So, yeah, that was still had a headliner at the end of it. So,
yeah. And the Stag is only monthly, too.
Yeah.
And it's still a pain in the fucking ass. I can't imagine doing it weekly. That would just do my head in.
Yeah.
And for what you get out of it, it's not a lot. You're doing it for the love of it because you're not making money on it.
No. And, well, I don't know. Some people do. They fudge their book somehow.
Yeah. But you'd probably be lucky if you're doing a weekly open mic to be taking home $100 from that.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not making money on open mic. No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No fucking way.
No, they're not making money on open mic.
Yeah.
No, they're making money on full book gigs.
Yeah, so the Ori was a weekly book show.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
The Ori was a weekly, it opened with two brackets of open micers and then an MC to do that, and then the third was the headliner.
Right, okay. And well, so, yeah, that's how you make money. If you're not paying open micers to do half the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the headliner only ever had to do 45 or 40 or something.
Right.
And then most of the time, so like, because back then also there was like five of us Newcastle guys that would do it, and then the rest would be Sydney, but you'd get them just by promising 20 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, he's, so he's done be, it.
I've done the mortal.
He's done the mortal sin.
So they'd be happy to come up and do the...
Yeah, for the time. 20,
for the time, but also for the cash, or were they...
Oh, yeah. No, well, they were doing... So we'd get... Back then, there was... I felt like there was more festivals around. I don't know. Because we'd always get Sydney guys wanting to do longer time to get ready for their show.
Right.
Would always be what they'd do. Because in Sydney they couldn't get longer than 7 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
But you could promise them to come down here if they get 15 and they could work on their 15-minute bit or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the challenging thing is getting longer form sets anyway, really. Like we, even the club, like even the book gigs, 7-minute sets, which makes it a great show. Like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a great show. It's the way to run a showcase is 7-minute sets because you can't, like, if someone sucks, well, it's only 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You move on. It doesn't ruin the whole fucking show.
Yeah, and it's difficult for the audience because I've definitely been to, because, like, it's a mistake to, especially with long open micers, you still need to do a break. A lot of people are scared of the break because people will leave. But it kills them by the end of it if you don't do a break. And so I reckon you're better off having the people who remain that want to be there still than having a room full of people who hate you by the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've just given them fucking 18 comics in a row. Like,
oh, yeah. That, yeah. Some of those open mic nights, if you haven't got a limit on numbers as well,
yeah,
they're fucking brutal. You're just like, holy
I've done
shit,
them down in God. Sydney.
Yeah.
And you're on to the towards the tail end and you're just like, this is going to be fucked. Yeah,
there's like fucking 30 of them on the sheet. I went to Sydney because I rarely ever went to... I did once for an open micer. They convinced me to get the train. And then we got the train for fucking hours. I didn't get back till 4 a.m. or whatever. And I got 4 minutes.
Yeah.
There was a bell... And I was like, this is fucked.
What am I doing this for? Yeah.
This is fucked. I'm not in love with this much where I want to do this. I'll just keep...
I did it with Elliot a few weeks ago, actually. I'm still doing it.
Oh, I remembered a bit about the fucking Ori story with the MC. Because I remember then Soam was running it then. Soam Chopper was running it then. And then he said to me, don't tell anyone. Because I don't want to scare off other MCs and headliners that the MC was just bashed in the toilets. And so we were all didn't say anything. Like us open mics didn't really say anything. And then the next week, the MC came up to me and he was just buying a drink and he was like, is this where the MC was bashed? He didn't care. He just fucking was desperate for the $150 that he was going to get. So he didn't care.
Yeah, what are the chances of it happening two times in a row?
It was meant to be a tightly kept secret, so don't
no such thing in comedy.
Nah, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, if you want a fucking secret, you better keep it to yourself.
Yeah. That's one of the worst things you can do, though, is like not tell anyone, because at least if you tell everyone, then they'll be like, oh, all right, well, I might not go back and forth with the big burly dude at the bar who looks like he's going to bash me, because he probably fucking will.
Yeah, probably will. There's a good chance he will have a go.
Yeah.
That's fucking so dumb.
But imagine now, like, I don't know, like, we wouldn't go, you wouldn't go back up, would you? I'm trying to think, like if you...
Someone bash me.
Yeah. Well, because it did a lot for Jim Jefferies, though.
Yeah, he got punched in the head, didn't he?
He got punched, and that sort of...
That skyrocketed him.
Mm. Yeah, if someone got punched here, it'd fucking go off, I reckon. Like, you'd get a lot of views on
that. You'd make it into the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You drop it into the Newcastle Herald.
Yeah.
I would. If I got punched, I'd fucking...
It wouldn't be a good look for the club, though.
A comedian got bashed at the club last week. Yeah. Here are his details. Yeah. Just give him my number. Call up.
Yeah.
Use a slightly different voice. I got punched in the head.
Doing a Kyle Legacy.
Yeah.
I got punched in the head at an unknown comedy venue.
Yeah.
In Newcastle. On the corner of Derby Street.
Do you know what Kyle did? He called the comedy store in America. It might have been L.A.
Yeah.
Called up saying that he was Kyle's manager.
That's great.
And got on.
Did he?
Got in there, yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
But just how would that have gone, like, because he's got the accent. You can't hide that.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm Kyle's manager. When he gets called, hello, this is Kyle.
Does he put up in a female voice? Hello, I'm Kyle's manager.
How the fuck? How did he wing that? I don't know.
Hello.
Good on him.
Oh, man.
Oh, the comedy store. I did that in the Sydney one.
Oh, yeah.
After the first Raw final in Sydney.
Yeah.
God, they hated me. Oh. I was not their cup of tea at all.
Nah.
Yeah.
Like, Raw is a very different crowd.
Yeah. Well, it was great in Newcastle. The set at the theatre that I did for the Heat to win it was one of the best sets of my life. Like, that was fucking next level.
Yeah.
They liked me here, but that's Sydney's not my thing. Like, they just fucking don't like me. And then some of the acts there, when I was in that role, like, one of them didn't even fucking talk his whole set, and they loved it. He did, like, magic tricks and pulled shit out of his pocket.
Like, yeah, this is comedy.
And I was like, what is this alternative weird shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were straight into it. And I remember opening up the curtain, and then I knew that it wasn't going to be good when I could hear my thongs.
Yeah.
I was walking up to absolute fucking pin drop silence already.
Yeah.
And I was like, they don't like me. I'm the only one that's drinking on stage. I got a flannel, I got thongs on. They're not. This is not going to go well. And they did not care about anything that I did.
Yeah.
Have you guys done much Sydney?
I've done a bit, but I don't know.
I got a room closed once.
Yeah, you did.
Sydney. You got a room closed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of Legacy's gigs. It was like...
You closed it.
Him and another comic.
Me and another comic.
Yeah. They bombed so hard they had to shut it down.
I got heckled by a sigh. This lady in the middle of my set just goes, and I was just like, I am fucking dying up here, just sweating. But I parked, turned up this fucking Mexican restaurant, and I was like, and the MC was just eating it, and I was like, fuck.
And this is where the gig was, the Mexican restaurant.
It was in a Mexican restaurant on fucking Halloween.
You're not set up well there.
No.
They had to kill the mariachi band to...
Yeah. So MC is just fucking eating it up there. Then I fucking open, just bombed, like, horrifically. Yeah. Just because all I do is, like, gross jokes. Like,
People are trying to eat tacos.
Yeah.
On the Crown and Anchor, and you're up there being like...
Talking about eating tacos too, just a different type. And then they're like, fucking hated me. Walked outside, was just like, I want to fucking... drive off a bridge right now. Yeah. One of the guys in the crowd was like, no, you were good. I go, well, you fucking weren't laughing. Yeah. It's like, no, no, we liked you. It's just there was one half of the room that clearly fucking hated you, so it was impossible to sort of build any momentum.
Yeah. Well, it's always difficult to make, like, a lot of people, a lot of the regular people in the crowd, the normies we perform to, they're always worried if they're laughing. If they want to laugh but they look and no one else is laughing, they're not going to laugh.
No.
Yeah.
They're not going to budge. Like, if they look around, even if it's fucking right up their alley, they're not going to do it. They might do it in secret later.
Yeah.
That was a good bit. But they're not going to do it around other people. That's why a smaller crowd is more difficult.
Oh, 100%.
And a bigger one, because you got to try and sway all of those people yourself.
Yeah.
Where in a bigger crowd, the audience can sway other audience.
Like
if a lot of people are laughing, then they can generate
It's contagious.
They can generate that. But my best heckle that's happened to me was I was going really awful. This was a Milos show.
Speaks for itself.
Yeah. You're already on the back foot there.
It was at like the Prince or something.
Oh, yeah.
Upstairs, and it was good. Other people were doing well. And then I had, so he put on, this is his problem, he put me on late and he had half price beers for comics. So I was playing, $3 a schooner or something.
Yeah, so you were fucked. Fucking
put me on first, mate. You've ruined me. $3 VBs and the bar was right there. I just had no chance. But the heckle I got was somebody checked a watch. It was so personal. Because it was a guy in the front row, he checked a watch that he didn't have on.
Oh, fuck.
It was just me and him. It was just between me and him.
Yeah,
cycle.
He knew.
It was so deep. Because no one. And then I just did. Then I did 5 minutes on that, talking about the bloke checking a watch that wasn't there. But it was so good. Like, he checked it and then he tapped it. Just tapped his blank wrist. And I was like, can't deny that's the fucking best.
Yeah. That was so good. That was next level.
And then another one I heard when it was dead silent in a room. This one wasn't me, but someone on their phone downloaded the cricket noise.
Oh.
The noise of a cricket.
Yeah.
That's bad if you can hear it through the phone.
You could hear it. That was at the Ori, that one.
Yeah.
And
fuck.
Then you could hear the cricket noise, and he did it like after every joke. Oh, I was like, that's just, you what can't deny cunt. That that's fucking actually pretty funny.
It is funny, but it's such a cunny thing to do.
It sucks when they win. I fucking hate it if a heckler wins.
Yeah.
Gives me the shits.
Oh, if a heckler gets the biggest laugh of someone's set. Oh, man.
Happened to you last night, actually. Yeah. Fucking Billy was up there emceeing, and he said something about being a 6 out of 10. And she was just like, 6?
Oh, no.
But he did well. Like, he recovered from it.
Yeah.
He just riffed on it. But, you never know when it's coming.
Sometimes you got to take a knee on it.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes there's no getting back. Especially early days. Like, what was that show last night?
Just the Friday showcase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah
right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Was it last Tuesday you did? Last Tuesday or the Tuesday before? I think it was Tuesday before.
Yeah.
Man, you got up and fucking demolished.
Yeah, it was my first set and I can't remember how long.
I know. And it was crazy.
Well, I sort of established, like, I was thinking about this because I was like, I've been doing it for so long that I know that I can do that kind of set. But I can't really write bits anymore. It's not something I do anymore. I pretty much just think of an idea and I do it.
Yeah.
And then what changed with how I do comedy is that I, straight up, I make sure I comment on something that maybe other people have noticed in the room at a venue.
Yeah.
Or I just fuck around a bit for a minute. Like, I hate. And then I just definitely can't. Like, if you got me doing 5 minutes, it's going to be fucking, it's going to be 7. It's going to be longer. That's just how I do it. It takes me fucking 3 minutes to get up there. That's just my pace. But also what helps is that people are already, like, they make an assumption about you before you get up.
Yeah.
And so,
well, based on the thongs and the flanno and shit, if it's in Sydney, they're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, but if it's here, you're
if
like,
if it's here, they're like onto it. I'm having a beer. And, like, I don't know. I can't really explain it. I've just been doing it so long. So I did well, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And you're in no rush either, like you said. Yeah. Like, that's your pace. And I think with open mic, like, a lot of cunts get up there and they're just rushing to get through it as quick as they can so they can fucking get on and get off.
Yeah. Well, just think about it like this. Like, when it's going bad, it's a fucking long time. It's a lot of time.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
5 minutes is a long time.
If you're eating dicks.
If you're eating dicks. So that's actually how long it is. It is a long time.
Yeah.
Especially, like, just trying to, like, if someone went talk for 5 minutes and then you got to try and spin your wheels for 5 minutes, like, maybe we've got the skill for that, but 90% of people won't have the skill for that.
No.
Like, and so it actually is a fair bit of time. I make it a fair bit of time and I go over.
Yeah. But you're doing well when you do. That's the difference. Yeah. Like, if you're up there and you're doing 7 minutes and you're fucking eating dicks,
you'll just get off.
You're you're like, all right, this isn't going well.
Yeah.
You've got enough. You've been doing it long enough that you've got the self-awareness too when it's going wrong.
Yeah. And then it'll go. But I didn't even finish a joke and I did well that night.
Yeah.
Like the no issues, tissues bit.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even finish it because I'd only just thought of it. And I didn't even know how it would go. But now I know the premise works.
I remember that. Like, that's a fucking
now
good
I know because I wasn't sure if the premise would work in that joke.
Yeah.
No issues. Like building a world around this really simple slogan and the office politics that would have gone along with making this fucking slogan that's called No Issues, Tissues. I wasn't even sure if that would work as a
what was concept. Supposed to be the punchline for it?
I had nothing.
Oh, okay.
I was just trying to figure it out.
I was thinking you were going to go, like, a tissue is the only thing you need if you've got an issue. Like, that's what solves an issue is a fucking tissue.
Well, maybe, because I don't know. Like, I could circle it to something to do with the tissues. I don't know. Like, you'd need some tissues. But then I kind of don't want it to be. It's a fine line because I don't want it to end on a groan by accident.
Yeah.
Because
I've
done a really bad tissue pun. Like, but then also, the deeper I go, maybe that would be funnier. So, like, if I really go deep with it and then end on just a pointless payoff, then that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I haven't gone deep enough with it, then if I ended on just a tissue pun, it'll be a waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've kind of got to, it's one of those jokes, I've kind of got to do it so long that it becomes not funny and then funny again and then not funny and then funny again.
Yeah.
Like,
it's one of those things.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't know if I'll figure it out.
I got up there and was fucking ready to, I'd had a week. It was Tuesday. I'd already had a week.
Yeah, you had a rant.
I just had a rant.
Yeah.
And it fucking worked.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, sweet. Yeah. I've got a whole new fucking 5 minute bit now.
You recorded that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
And it was like, there was one punchline, the funniest punchline of it all. Just came to me as well. Like, it wasn't anything that I'd written.
Yeah, that's fantastic because that's 90%. And then you pick up those pieces and then you bring it back.
Like,
you just remember those pieces and you bring it back.
Yeah.
And that's the point of open mics too.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to – because a lot of people are like, you know, Elliot is an example of this.
A cunt.
No, like a lot of people do the Elliot where they get obsessed with that really good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And Elliot will be aware of this because I remember when they did that road trip. Remember when the three of them did the road trip?
Yeah, and he lost material on the road trip.
And he come back with less. And the other three come back fucking polished comedians and I saw their final show.
Yeah.
And then Elliot came back with 4 minutes.
Yeah.
He'd cut bits out of his set.
Yeah.
And then that's not a burn on. It's kind of a burn on him.
No, no, it's how he was back then. Yeah. He's not like that anymore.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah. Like, I'm hoping that he's growing past that.
He has. Big time, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. Well, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen him.
He's rocking up to every open mic with, like, new material.
Yeah.
And which is insane if you knew who Elliot used to be. Like, yeah.
And so, but a lot of, and I was obsessed to it, especially early days, because once you get those precious little crumbs of the jokes that you have and they do well, you fucking hug onto them. Like,
yeah.
And then some jokes I can't get rid of, like epilepsy learning disability.
Yeah.
It used to be my opener, and I fucking hate that joke. but sadly, it's one of the best I've ever written.
Yeah, that sucks, doesn't it? When you're like,
I fucking hate it.
I hate just doing it because I've done it so many times. Like, you're just over it.
Yeah,
you're like, damn it, that it works.
Joke, I used to always open with it, and then now, like, I refuse to do it. Like, I hate it.
Yeah,
but I know that I can do it.
Yeah,
like, but it's like one of those. But like, and so that was one of the first jokes I ever wrote. And how long was 2009 ago? That's how old that joke is.
Yeah.
Like, and so you get married to those little bits that you protect. But a point of an open mic is that you're fucking putting garbage out there. And then you're picking the pieces up and goes, well, especially a place like this. I was fucking shocked. The first time I come here, I was like, these people know this is an open mic. And
there's even, still 50 here. Of them.
Yeah. They're here. Even if it's only half full.
Yeah.
It's still just amazing that they know that this is what the show is. Like, because I did so many shows where it's sorry, punters, the footy's off. There's a comic
doing comedy at you, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, there was one night, it was another Butterfield show, and it was at some sort of bowling club. I can't remember exactly where, but it was like a Paul Gallen, the Sharks captain, he captained New South Wales, and it was 2014 when New South Wales actually won the State of Origin for the first time.
For the time first time, nine years, I remember.
And it was his first boxing match.
Yeah.
And we were doing a show for some reason on the fucking same night. And so we'd lined up the chairs to face the stage, where it was a mic near a bar. So it wasn't really a stage, but it was just a mic near the bar and the TAB machine. And then we were just waiting to start, and the punters just turned the chairs towards the TV.
And the TV was going, obviously.
Yeah. Well, they weren't turning the fight off because of us.
Yeah.
No.
Like
they're all there to watch the fight.
Yeah. And so we're just trying to do comedy to the size of people's heads.
Yeah. Like, fuck
it was
that.
A fucking nightmare. Like, that's most of the shows that most of the open micers you'll find are like that.
Yeah.
And then you've got a club like this where people know that it's an open mic.
Yeah.
I'm talking too much.
No, you're not. This is the point. This is the reason why we bring guests on.
Yeah.
Because me and Ethan done 140-something fucking episodes and we're sick of our own voices.
Yeah.
That's a lie. I'm never sick of my own voice.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah. It's the reason why there's 140-something episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like comics who only do this open mic as well.
Yeah,
and I think you're actually doing yourself a disservice. Like, yes, you do get better faster with crowds.
Yeah,
like definitely. I'm not saying don't do this.
Yeah,
but there's something about being able to do the rough gigs.
Yeah,
and go through that because the second you run into it, just adversity builds resilience. So
yeah.
Anytime you're having like a semi-bad situation, you're like, oh, fuck, this is nothing compared to the time I got a fucking Mexican restaurant gig shut down.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's way, way easier to do
To do those hell gigs that you're getting paid for and it's not going well. You still got to do your time and act like it's going and deliver the bits as you would if it was crushing.
I'm still confused about this Mexican restaurant. So what? They shut it because you did bad. That's
not the restaurant. Just
someone complained. So it was like Northern Beaches, like fucking swanky Sydney.
Oh, they complained.
I parked between
material.
A Porsche and a Mercedes.
Oh,
so it was just.
They complained
just,
about your material.
Yeah, they said my material was gross.
They can fuck off.
Yeah, I know. They can go get fucked. Like, but it was funny the phone call that I got from Legacy. Yeah, lad, we got a complaint. It said that it was gross. It's got you written all over it, lad. I was like, yeah, that's me. The other guy got into it with some chick as well. The other guy, it was probably him who got the complaint, but I'll own it because it's hilarious. He like got into it with her and was doing this material and got into an argument with her. I was like, ooh, that's not good.
Mm. Yeah,
I was I didn't fucking argue with anyone. I could have. I could have called that fucking cunty old lady who sighed at me a cunty old lady. And
you don't shut a show because it. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's a whole different fucking conversation, that is.
Yeah. North Sydney, I can imagine they'd do it.
Yeah.
Who the fuck complains at a comedy show as well? Like, all right. Like,
you don't like it, you don't like it.
Yeah, like, not to mention, I did my set And then Steph Broadbridge got on stage and fucking killed.
Yeah.
Had the whole place in fucking, like...
Yeah, so now that you've had a whinge, you've prevented people from doing the show in the future because one fat dude came down from Newcastle and talked about his tiny dick.
Yeah.
What's the fucking point of that?
Yeah. And now the whole show's ruined.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's fucking insane.
But what I've taken from this is it's your fault.
Straight up.
I just imagine you up there absolutely sweating taco juice. Just
talking. Oh, dude. And drooling too, because there was food in front of me. Yeah. I couldn't help it.
I'm picturing you actually harassing people.
You going to finish that?
Getting arrested.
I've asked for people's food while on stage before.
I know you have. Pretty sure you did that at the RSL a few times.
Yeah.
That Kahiba gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that Kahiba gig. So this, we get up there, it's fucking RSL. RSL gigs are never good. There's a woman with her two young daughters in the crowd. And I'm like, I was first up. There was an MC. I was first up. And they still hadn't left. And I was like, all right, lady, your kids are about to learn some stuff because I've only got 5 minutes. And I've only got 5 minutes. I can't change this up because there's a 10-year-old in the crowd. So here's 5 minutes on my dick. Just horrific.
Why are you emceeing with only 5 minutes?
I wasn't emceeing. Oh, there was an MC, and then I got...
Yeah, edit much of this? Because editing's the fucking worst.
We pay a guy.
Oh, you pay a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fuck that.
That'd be the editing's... That'd stop me from doing YouTube, really.
Yeah. You used to do Steve White's...
Yeah, Big Steve. Oh, yeah,
the beer ads. Yeah, well, they're not ads.
With Brady.
Yeah.
That was actual high production.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. No, the we didn't get kicked out. The Commo complained.
Why?
Because they had this beer called Cloud Catcher.
Yeah.
And we were doing so many fucking just takes and repeats and me trying to get a thing. And I thought it tasted exactly like Stone and Wood because it's by the same people.
Hmm.
It was like meant to be this big fucking Cloud Catchers, the new thing from Stone and Wood. And it's like, and because we were doing so many takes, I said, Brady asked, what's the difference between this and Stone and Wood? And I said, Stone and Wood's colder. Or something like that, because I was drinking, because it warmed up.
Yeah.
And so then that night was like, but they'd given us more beers. They were the best on the night. The Stone and Wood reps were even in.
Wow.
I had like 12 schooners that night, and they were talking to Brady about the video we're doing, and the venue loved it. And then they saw the video. Brady showed him the video, and they said the complaint was I said they serve warm beer.
Oh, fuck. And they didn't understand the joke.
They didn't get it. They didn't fucking get it at all. But it also... But Cloud Catcher's gone because it's the same fucking beer.
Yeah.
You don't see it anywhere.
So you were right.
Yeah, I was right.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear the truth.
Beer. Yeah, funny that. A beer reviewer fucking knowing what the fuck he's talking about.
And, the problem with that... The best thing about what the guys did, though, what Brady did... And, you know, Dave and Connors and that, is they didn't tell me about the complaint. We had still had, like, three more to do.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're not going to tell him because it'll change how he's going to act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them. So that was really good. I didn't know that until we had to film the redub. Like, I had to redub the line.
Yeah.
To say, like, it's a bit colder or something. Like,
yeah.
I had to, like... I can't remember what we did. But the problem with that series is that the venues didn't like it. We didn't, like, we need to retool it so it's more of a product for the venues to, because none of them wanted to share it. Because I'm just...
Because you're taking the piss.
I'm taking the piss.
And they don't like that.
And they weren't a fan of the concept. They were like, it looks good, but...
because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
And what these fucking idiots don't understand is that if you have someone like that in there taking the piss, it gives them the... Like, they're the everyman, you know what I mean? It gives them a better, look to the public because they're like, oh, these guys aren't taking themselves too seriously. Like, they can have a joke at their own expense.
Well, yeah, everyone's trying to be fucking Gordon Ramsay and open a Michelin star fucking pub.
Fuck off, idiots. But like, none of them would like, and we'd ask, can you share it and support it? And they'd be like, it's funny and we're going to let you put it up. Nah.
We can't put it out because fucking Karen from marketing said that it's a bad look for our image. It's not gonna, it's we want to be professional.
And so that's why we stopped doing any of those. Like, because it was just like... And then, like, we did one of them was the cocktail bar.
Mm.
Like, Brady told them that I'm a beer drinker. And then he was like, no, well, you have to do a cocktail.
Yeah.
A cocktail bar.
Which is funny.
Yeah, which is funny, which it worked. But, like, when we got there, it was, like, a 10-minute discussion about what I'm going to drink and why and then how it's going to look. And I was just like, that's not the point of this. Like,
yeah.
Fucking. But, like, we got to retool it. I said to Brady, we kind of got to think about how we can appeal. Like, there's got to be a medium ground.
Mm.
To try and just sort of hug it.
Fuck,
I'm
just,
not saying
no,
throw
I think,
the whole...
I think,
like, not throw the whole...
Yeah, don't throw...
Not throw it all in the bin.
Yeah.
Mm. But sort of just make it, like, tweak it a little bit where, like, I don't know, like, where venues will be more happy to be on board.
Yeah, because I remember watching them when they were coming out. I used to be excited.
Oh, funny
like,
as
these
fuck.
Are fucking great.
But what you needed was a platform to put it out on. Where you have like a million followers.
Yeah.
Because well, if you had something like that.
Yeah, because that's easy.
Yeah. But no matter. Exactly. But no
all
matter
what. All you need is an already very successful channel.
Yeah.
And that would have done well. Thanks for the tip.
But you can get that. You can pay for that. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can pay an influencer, you can pay people that already have those followers to put that shit out. And then you go, look at what views it got. But, this is what it's getting.
So then the problem... So then, like, the problem with that is because, like, I know Butterfield. But he's not going to help me because I'm in his audience circle.
He will if you're paying.
You know, even if then, I'm taking some of his audience. You know what
you
I mean?
You reckon?
I don't know about that.
I'm not taken, but I'm like... It's not in his interest.
Yeah.
It's probably not in his interest as in, like, it doesn't really match with what he's doing. But, like, there'd be, like, other shit out there where people would be like, yeah, I'll fucking, I'll do that. Like, how many comics do you know that have put out an ad for something completely unrelated to comedy because someone said, I'll give you fucking $5,000 to do an ad for these headphones? Yeah. And they go, yeah, all right.
Elderfield's doing fucking ads for Optus where he's surfing and shit and... Fucking in his speedos, that handsome motherfucker. Fuck him. So, fuck him and his jawline.
So your key to success is just pay.
Yeah, just
that's how the world works.
Ride the coattails of other successful people.
You can.
And so is this why this podcast is skyrocketing?
Because I haven't put any money behind it.
All you're gonna do is pay.
Here's my.
You've invested more in this podcast than we have.
You bought the microphones for it, Steve. This is how the Jews get on top.
Yeah, that's fucking really blown me away. I can't wait to tell these guys that I've tried this before and it fucking was not successful. And
All you had to do was throw some money at it. But you have to have a product that's good first to put out, and this podcast is not it. So that's why I haven't put any money behind it. But well,
it
like
kind of does seem like I'm bringing the fucking energy.
You definitely are.
Yeah.
But if
I was worried about, am I going to be too low today?
No, these two idiots.
I've only just started drinking and I was at six and I got the bus. And
yeah, dude, that is wild. You caught the bus here.
Well, he's got a drink.
Yeah.
Well, it's... I've always said having no license is a beer drinking superpower.
You're right.
Like, it's a fucking, I never have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, and I can get home.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. It might take you fucking 12 hours.
Yeah, it might take me a while.
You might have to suck some dicks on the way, but.
Fucking, no, I don't.
Not anymore.
No, because.
You're married now.
Yeah.
So. Those days are behind you.
Why is it always got to be dicks, mate?
It's always dicks with Mitch. Yeah.
That's how I roll.
Himself.
No, but I mean,
I've been doing comedy 5 years. It's my bread and butter, mate.
Why is it all got to be? Why is this scenario always got to be a dude and you got to suck a dick?
Because women don't trade pussy eating for lifts.
Oh, they love it.
They love it, but they're not picking up hitchhikers and being like, all right, come on.
Come on, get down for some lunch. Have a jump.
You look like your teeth need a floss.
And I'll take you to Curry Curry.
You might pick up a woman in Curry Curry doing that, yeah.
Those lips look a bit dry.
Ooh, hot day.
It's all right. We'll get you home one way or another.
No, it's fucking, what's the time? What are we worried about me getting home for? Oh, how long do you normally go?
An hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, about an hour. Yeah. But we can do two. We can do a Patreon as well. Yeah. You can talk some real shit then, because it's behind a paywall. No one listens.
You want Patreon too?
Yeah. No, it's where we put all of our shows.
No offense, boys. Who's paying?
We got three.
Yeah, three.
We've got $10 a month.
Is it you two?
No. We've got three patrons, which is crazy. Which is way more than I'd ever
way
pay
Way more
for.
Than we deserve.
We appreciate it so much. We should be reading out their names. Like
I don't know their
YouTube.
Names. That's how bad I am at
What's
this.
What's the, yeah.
I know one of them's Chris Butler.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
On you, Chris. Thank you.
Chris Butler, he's definitely forgotten to cancel that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He should cancel it and put those payments towards his Tesla. He's not, he may have forgotten about it.
Good.
But yeah. We're doing the No Holds Barred show on there. So when's the next one?
The
18th of November?
Yeah.
Fuck, it's coming up.
Sunday.
So No Holds Barred is a show that is Mitch's idea of just... And this one's going to be on before the showcase on a Saturday. But it's basically you just do whatever the fuck you want up there, like whatever comedy. And the audience is like the MC's job, basically go up there, tell the audience that like these guys are saying some fuck stuff that'll probably get a Mexican restaurant comedy show shut down. So you guys have to be ready for it. Are you guys all keen, all on board? The crowd's like, yep. And then we go and you just do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, right.
Like
have
any
you done
jokes
many of these?
Done one,
and it went well.
And it went well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went really
people
well.
Really horrendous, though? Like, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
The opening act was Ben McLennan, and he got up talking about how rough it would be to be a pedophile. That was his opening joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it fucking killed.
Yeah.
Like, and then from there, like, everyone just, it was a fucking
you
awesome.
You had to be funny. Like, you still had to be funny. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. We're not just
fucking, you can't just go up and shout abuse.
Yeah.
Like, the only people that are going to find that funny are comics because they know how awful it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, like, that's the niche little area where it's a comic knows that they're watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's like I've heard about that big gym bloke.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love
he's favorite. Fantastic, yeah. But he's only good for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen him kill once. Yeah. I've seen him kill once. Like, legit got up and the whole crowd got it.
Yeah.
Like, when the crowd gets it and they know what it is, they're along.
Yeah. That's
but,
like Dave. It's like Dave.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen Dave do a lot of shows where he's gone, like, I'll go up. Because I used to always go up first, and then he'll ask me, what do you think the crowd's like? And I said, well, they're not going to, Dave, what are you asking me that for? Like, they're not, you're going to go over and do well or you're not. Like, there's no.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I'll try and do mainstream.
His version of mainstream
He's mainstream, and then he gets the white gloves out and he does the Charles Darwin spin around bit. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
And that's his mainstream bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not.
He does the spin around and there's the conversation with Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
And I'm like when they get it though, like he's fucking no one else is like him.
We had him on the talent show that I've been running here on a Wednesday once a month. And it's just like you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So it's encouraging that sort of not that like meta comedy, weird shit, experimental stuff. And he crushed.
Yeah.
He had everyone up on stage, like just dragging people out of the crowd, brought like 16 people on stage to read books.
Yeah.
And then had them all read books at the same time. And it was just like this madness.
Well, wasn't it different religious stuff?
Yeah.
I heard it was like different.
No, it was combining all of humanity's knowledge at once. So
yeah, but he had religious
reading,
books and
yeah,
like,
religious books and
yeah. It was nuts. Yeah. And then he got everyone into a big circle to do a group hug.
Yeah.
And then made them all go, ha, 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 ha. And he was like, the universal language is laughter. Yeah. How the fuck?
That's Dave. Yeah. That's fucking
and it was
Dave.
Great. Like, yeah. It was the best part of the night, I reckon. Yeah. It was so good.
Only Dave. Like, did you know he fucking, he squashed, he could have been on ABC, could have had a show and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard he's had those situations where, like, he's had those offers and then just...
Yeah, because a mate of Brady's who did some documentary stuff wanted to do a documentary on Dave and filmed a bunch of stuff. But Dave was like, I want to have sort of more editing control.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're not an editor.
Just be you, Dave.
Yeah.
Like, and that's enough.
We're professional filmmakers.
Yeah.
Like, I guess he didn't want it to make him look bad or something and he thought he could fix that in the edit. Yeah, but amount of editing's going to make you look like, normal, Dave.
Like, I only know what Brady's told me about the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Brady's just like, he had the keys in his hand and like he could have fucking, the world could have seen how fucking crazy Dave is.
Yeah.
And he could have made it. I don't know if it would have worked. People might have been.
No, I think it would have.
Yeah.
I think it would have. Like, I look at, when I see Dave, like, I'm like, fuck, man, there's something there. We're like, dude, if you had a TV show or whatever, like if you just, what he's doing now, he's just teaching English to Africans. He got here, he's like, I've just been teaching English to Africans. Like, that sounds like a great sitcom.
Yeah.
Like an English teacher teaching Africans. Yeah, man. Like, he's a great person.
Yeah,
fucking...
and then, but like I've never experienced full Dave because he knows I don't have the patience.
Yeah,
and I'm not part of the game, so I always just tell Dave, just no. If you do Dave shit, I'm actually walking away. I don't care where you are. You could be walking into a fucking traffic. I'm like, Dave, you're doing Dave shit. Have a good life. I know it might be a good story. I'll follow you through this, but I'm not fucking throwing cactuses with somebody or whatever the fuck. Or getting banned from fucking servos.
What's the story there?
Oh,
he was parking in his van outside the servo, sleeping in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they banned him.
I think it was slightly more than sleeping.
Oh, well, if you're going to have it, you got to get to sleep somehow. Like.
Yeah. I know too much about Mitch's nighttime routine.
I'll wait till the wife's asleep first.
You're not married, are you?
Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Fucking, how old are you? I've got to ask that. How old are you?
31?
Yeah, both 31. I'll be 32 tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I thought you blokes were heaps younger.
Yeah, just fucking fat, mate. I haven't got the wrinkles yet. It's good. It's that William Shatner effect.
I don't know. I feel older, don't I? I think maybe it's probably because I've been doing comedy longer.
It's probably all the booze, Steve, to be honest.
Yeah.
That'll do it to you.
How old are you?
33.
But your liver's 84.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe. Any time I've gone to the doctor, they've said to me, oh, your liver's fine. And several times I've gone, are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, in your test results, they've gone to the wrong. You've got the wrong person's test results.
Fuck. Yeah. I've had the exact opposite multiple times where doctors have sat me down like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even the booze.
You got to stop that KFC, brother.
It's the dirty bird, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I get told. Like, it was so funny because me and my wife see the same doctor. And we usually go in together. I just do the appointments back to back or whatever. Mm. And then as soon as it's, like, the wife comes in with me and he's straight up, less beer, you're fat, you got to exercise, stop, like, everything you're doing.
Yeah.
And then my wife goes in, he mentions none of that. And then even she commented on it. She
was like,
he just calls you fat all the time. Because I went in and my blood pressure is slightly high. And it's slightly high. Like, I was told, so I had to wear a monitor for 24 hours and everything.
Hmm.
And I was basically told it's not good that it's already this high. It's not dangerous yet, but you're only 33 and it's only going to get higher.
Yeah.
So start changing things.
Yeah. I I went into the doctor's once and...
Which I've not done.
I was starting to lose weight. I started doing jiu-jitsu again. I told my doctor, he goes... He just looks at me up and down. He's like, really? I was like, hey, fuck you, man. I was like, I'll choke a motherfucker out. He said, I'll choke you out.
No, like, I thought you were saying really as in you've lost weight.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, dude, it was fucking, it was rough. He said to me, he's like, you're fat. I'm like, yeah, I know. He's like, yeah. You got to do something about it. I was like,
yeah, I'd say, but apparently they don't talk to women like this.
No, because they want them to come back. You fucking tell a woman she's fat, she's not coming back.
Yeah, but that even was if it's a health concern, even if it's a full, the same reason why they're saying it to you, they won't say it to them.
Yeah. But they'll say it to them in a different way. I've been working on this bit. It's like they can't call women fat, but they can say, have you tried intermittent fasting? Which is a nice way to say, have you tried not eating, you fat bitch? Yeah. It's the way that they word it.
Yeah.
It
gets over the line. I went into the hospital.
That's a good little bit.
Thanks, man. I had a...
you don't need more.
It's not going to crush with the women in the crowd, that's for sure.
Oh, no.
But, yeah.
No. Well, I said goodbye to fucking women really liking me a long time ago to inform me.
Yeah. After you get married, that's pretty much when it happens. Yeah. But, yeah, I went into the hospital at the John because I had a problem with my thyroid and they were, like, doing tests and stuff like that. And I went in there and they did all the scans and shit and they're like... Oh, yeah, there's an issue with your thyroid. It's Graves' disease. And I'm like, well, that sounds fucking bad. And they're like, nah, it's nothing like that bad. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. You can just take these pills and it's easily manageable. You could go into remission. I'm like, all right, cool. And they're like, oh, yeah, and by the way, if your eyeballs start bulging out of your head, you should come back in. I'm like, I thought you said there was nothing to worry about. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah.
And as soon as I'm going to remission, that's concerning. Like, something you can...
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
That usually means it's serious.
Yeah. Remission is like cancer.
Yeah, remission. Do you only really hear that involved with cancer?
Yeah. What the fuck?
So did your eyes stay in your head?
Well, they're still in there. So
yeah.
The tablets are working, I guess.
That's all right.
But I go in for like a blood test every 6 months. I get the blood test and like I pay to go into the doctor for that. But then they won't call you up and be like, you're fine or you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but I'm not going to pay the extra fucking doctor's visit to go in and get the results. Yeah, so I just leave it. And I'm like, if there's a problem, they'll call me.
Yeah. If there's a problem and they need to see you, they'll either go, it's urgent, we need to see you now, or they'll go, it's non-urgent, but there's an appointment
we
need to talk to you about.
I thought that.
No.
It was not all right. And the doctors had sent me a letter saying... No, it's not bad enough. I had a fucking real bad ear issue where it was like a growth in my ear, like cell growth, and it was like essentially just rotting out my ear canal and the base of my skull.
Is this your ear or your brain?
In my ear. But they're like, it could have gone to your brain. They're like, if it had rotted through the bone of your brain, you'd be fucked. So anyway, I'm like waking up and there's blood on my pillow and... Like bleeding out of my ear.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I'm going back to the doctor.
Yeah, no, I went to the doctors and the doctor's like, yeah, we'll make you a referral. Got a CT scan. CT scan came back and like, nah, it's not serious enough. I'm like, fuck me, I'm bleeding out of my ear. Like, this is, all right, fair enough. So I left it another year. Was not getting better. Was not getting better. Started getting like weird dizzy spells and shit and like... All of a sudden, the fucking floor had become the wall. Like, that's how it felt. And I'm like, man, this is really bad now because I nearly fell off the side of a fucking bulldozer. All of a sudden, my, like, gravity just shifted and I was like, oh, fuck, I caught myself. Went back to the doctors. I was like, nah, you really need this. Really need to, like, follow this up. This is bad. Get into the John. And they're like, yeah, no worries. We'll just have a look at your CT scan from a year and a half ago. And the doctor goes... His eyes visibly widen.
His eyes pop out of his head.
And he's like, oh, no, we've got to put you on, like, category A, like, emergency surgery. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, this is really bad. I go, that's from a year and a half ago. He goes, we made a mistake. You made a mistake. I was like, I've been walking around with a bleeding fucking eardrum for 2 years, mate. Like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, we'll look at it so it never happens again. I go, motherfucker. Like,
this
holy
surgery
shit.
Surgery better be free.
Like, I was like, yeah, it was because it was the public system.
I also love how it's such a bloke thing to do. Be like, oh, they told me once. I will not question it again for another year.
Oh, I fucking hate going to the doctor. I'm the worst for that shit. Yeah, well, like, yeah. Like, you hear about those blokes who get a scratch, they get their leg gets infected and they die.
Yeah.
That's exactly the sort of thing that had happened to me.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, I fucking go to the doctor.
Oh, fuck. It's such a pain in the ass.
He just calls me fat. That's why I like going.
Yeah. Like, fuck it. Yeah, Ari. He's just going to tell me what I already
have
know.
Have you changed anything? No. You should. Yes.
Well, maybe you should try intermittent fasting.
The system's bullshit because I got epilepsy.
Mm.
And back when I was 18, I was told by a neurologist, you're going to be on this medication and you're going to be on it forever.
Yeah.
This is just it. You're just going to take that forever.
Mm.
And guess who still needs to pay the doctor every fucking time the script's up? Even though I'm going to take it forever.
Yeah.
What, you can't get just an unlimited repeat?
No.
Fuck.
I still, because it's like
that's
a it's lamotrigine. So it's like a, they used to have to phone up for it.
Mm.
And then now they at least don't have to do that. But they used to have to phone up and release it and kind of shit. So it's like a, because it can cause,
memory loss?
Yes. No, it's got side effects.
Yeah, okay.
So they want you in all the time to check on you. It's the same thing with you.
Can't operate heavy machinery, and it can increase the effects of alcohol.
Yeah.
Imagine if I wasn't on it.
Yeah.
What, alcohol? You'd be a lot thinner.
No, mate.
Yeah.
No. It's not the beers.
It's not the beers?
That's what I always say. It's not the beers. I just get horribly unwell quite often for no reason at all, and it's not the beers.
Yeah, I got a mate like that.
After I had my surgery, all the nurses at the John are hot. They're like, there's a scale. They're either twos or nines, and there's no in between.
Yeah.
So you get out of the fucking surgery, and it was like a crazy long surgery because, lo and behold, I needed the surgery a year before it happened. And it was like the doctors were like, they said they opened me up and the smell. Like that was the first thing they talked about, like the smell of it.
Smell.
Yeah, they're like, I was very, very lucky. Very lucky that I went back to the doctors.
Yeah.
Because my wife was like, you need to go back to the doctors. I'm sick of cleaning blood off your pillow.
I'm surprised you didn't make you go earlier. You just don't listen to her.
I'm just a fucking dumbass. Yeah. Anyway.
I had a similar thing. I had a sinus surgery and I ignored it until my eye couldn't open.
Yeah.
because it was just leaking. I went to the doctor once and he gave me some antibiotics and he said, we'll put you in for a scan because that does look a bit puffy.
Yeah.
And then it like completely closed over. I lost me fucking, I was just, I passed out one night because I couldn't swallow tablets then. So I was taking extra strength Aspoclear.
Yeah.
And then the only way I dealt with the pain is I put a whole box, dissolved it in a bottle. And then I was just drinking it to help with the pain.
Yep.
And then apparently I was told by the specialist after that did completely nothing for this type of pain.
Yep.
You just poisoned yourself. Is all you did there.
Yep.
And then I wasn't married then. I didn't have my wife to sort my shit out for me.
How good are wives?
Yeah, they just make sure you don't die.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's great.
It's like actually great.
Yeah.
And so I went to the scan. My mum took me to the scan and my eye was fully I couldn't open it.
Yeah.
Because the sinus had leaked into the back. And I went into the CT scan and they did the scan and then they told me to go back in. They put some dye in to see where it was leaking.
Mm.
And then there was a transport ambulance there doing a scan for somebody else.
Yeah.
And it had just left. And the dude doing the scan came out, saw me in the waiting room, and he said, if that ambulance was still here, you'd be on it. You have to go now.
Yeah, like, okay.
And then I was in the John for a week, and they were worried I was going to lose the sight of my eye.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And it was a whole bit, like, as soon as I started getting the pains, I should have gone, but I ignored it for a long time.
I get that. Yeah.
And then every time my wife, because my toe's fucked now,
it
keeps going ingrown, and I'm supposed to just,
yeah. There's like a thing that a doctor can do, like a GP can do for that.
Yeah.
Because I was in the military and it was a big issue with boots. Yeah. I was in the military. Yeah. Crazy.
Like a computer military.
I was like, working on fighter jets. Used to think I wasn't good at it. There's a reason why I'm not in the military now. I couldn't actually make a career out of it. They used to call me dick fingers because everything I touch, I fucked.
There's no way you were in the military.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
How long?
Yeah. Like 10 years.
10 years or something.
10 years.
Yeah.
Long enough to get a fucking long service.
You have like medals and shit?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
That's crazy, isn't it?
They let anyone in, don't they?
They fucking shouldn't have let me in. Fucking autistic.
You shouldn't have made it through recruiting.
I shouldn't have made it through the fucking psych test, but they didn't pick up on the tism.
Yeah.
It was good. But I got in. They knew something was wrong because I fucking went to jump on the truck instead of the bus. One of the recruiters is like, "Where the fuck are you going?" On the truck? They go, "We got a fucking bus, cunt. What are you doing?" Oh, sorry. I was always like failing inspections shit because I got like ADHD as well. So I couldn't like build a cupboard.
Yeah.
Because I'd go to fucking start something. I go, "All right, I've got to fold that fucking napkin." And I go, "But I've also got to fucking iron that shirt." So I go, "I'll iron the shirt." And I go, "Oh, I better fucking fold up that fucking ironing board." I'll fold up the ironing board, put it away, and I go, "Fuck, I needed that ironing board." It was just chaos. And then it all just came together right at the end, and half of it was fucked. And your roommates, you're supposed to support each other. Like, the people that you're in the room with, you all work together. This is the point of it. Like, you'll have one fuck-up, but it's all right because everyone sort of gets together. And then the fuck up just does the other shit that the others don't want to do. So, but I only had one other guy in the room with me because the other two got back coursed, and he was the biggest piece of shit on the thing. So he'd be like, "All right, we need to clean our room." So I'd fucking scrub the walls, just like mindless, just stuff that I could go into hyper focus doing. Yeah. So the inspectors would walk in, and they go, "Holy fuck, the walls are clean and the carpet's been fucking..." And Crispy goes, "Man, the inspection, dude." He goes, "You fucking did a really good clean on the walls, like really good job cleaning the walls." I go, "Oh, man, this inspection's going to be good for me." They walk in, they go, "Your fucking cupboard's shit. You didn't fucking iron that properly. Your fucking handkerchief's in the wrong place."
Yeah.
Because he used to just let me do all the work and hide under his desk. So it was insane, dude. It was fucking insane. So yeah.
Didn't you get the biggest pineapple award?
Yeah. I got the biggest because I was always getting screamed at.
Yeah.
I used to get fucked over a bit too. Like, I'd ask for help and someone would help me and they'd actually not help me. So I was like, I had an issue. Used to have to carry around these fucking gas masks because it was when fucking ISIS were gassing cunts and shit. So like, all right, you've got to do gas training. So you're running everywhere and it's like 1980s fucking bags, so they're all falling to bits and mine just fell apart. And I said to one of the boys, I said, "Just fucking tie it up so that it doesn't snap and I can just run." So he's like, "Yeah, no worries, gotcha." Fucking ties the biggest cunt of a knot you've ever seen in your life. And then they scream, "Gas, gas, gas!" And everyone pulls out their fucking gas mask and I'm there trying to fucking undo this knot. And the sergeant walks up, he goes, "You always fucking disappoint me, Coin." And I go, "Oh, fuck."
I got fucked over.
I got fucked over another time.
Yeah, ask the one bloke that wanted to be a fucking sailor.
Yeah, fucking,
yeah. You need a knot to tie a ship.
Yeah.
Should have been in the Navy.
Another time.
He's in the Air Force.
Another time we're fucking getting ready to go outfield and in between the blocks they used to have these parade grounds. It was just gravel parade grounds. Everyone's in their fucking camo. Everyone's doing up their face. And they go, "Last minute, water check. Who's checked their water?" And you're carrying like fucking 4 bottles of water plus two litres on your fucking backpack. Carrying around 6 litres of water at any one time. And one of my water bottles wasn't full. And I go, "Fuck, my water bottle isn't full." And they go, "What? Your water bottle isn't full?" I'm like, "Well, you just asked me to check and I checked and it's not. So can I fill up my water bottle?" He goes, "Run!" So I fucking run across the parade field to fill this fucking water bottle and there was another instructor walking past and he goes, "Were you just running on a parade field?" And I go, "Yeah?" He goes, "What?" He goes, "What did you just fucking say to me?" And, like, he pulls me off to the side and he goes, and we're all there in fucking full camo. full fucking gear.
So I've now got, I can see what's happening to you.
Yeah, everyone can see exactly what's happening to me. So he's standing there, and they say to us, when you're like all kitted up, don't actually do drill, like don't do the full movements because you can fucking break your ankle or hurt yourself. So he goes, turn around. And I turn around and he goes, turn around. So I turn back around. He goes, are you fucking taking the piss, mate? And I go, what? Like, and then he goes, turn around. And I turn around again. He goes, are you going to fucking do drill or what? And I go, oh, my God. I was like, I can't fucking win here. Like, I listen to one cunt. Yeah. And, like, this other guy's fucking screaming at me. So he's just, he's fucking screaming at me. And I had this girlfriend at the time who was playing fucking mind games with me while I was in there because she wasn't getting enough attention. So she'd fucking get...
Because you needed that support.
Yeah.
It was clear this was going well.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so she wanted to just add a bit of help.
So she'd fucking get back right before I left, she broke up with me. So I went in there with fucking just broken up with my girlfriend, like every, yeah. And I've fucking, then she'd get back with me for a week, then break up with me the next week. And then she'd get back with me, we'd have fucking phone sex. I'd blew the biggest loads of my life I've ever blown. Because you were so tired, you didn't jerk off like 4 weeks straight. When you finally fucking did, it was a mess. And then she'd break up with me the next day and get a boyfriend. And then she'd message me telling she was going to fucking hurt herself. And it was like all this going through my head. And I just ended up like 17. Just like, holy fucking shit. Like, I can't win right now. And then meanwhile, the one person who's supposed to, like, support you, which is, like, the guys you're in the room with, is just hiding under his bunk so he doesn't have to clean the showers. I was just like, fuck me. If I couldn't... And then I've drawn all of these fucking short straws, right? You go out the field three times. And second time we go out the field, it fucking pierces down rain, like the crazy, like a crazy storm. So everything's all muddy, and everyone gets their sleeping bags and they put them in the washing machine because it was fucked. And on the sleeping bags it says, "Do not wash in a top load washer." Everyone else is doing it. I go, "It'll be right." I do it. I go do my stuff. I come back to get my fucking sleeping bag, and the washing machine's fucked. And I go, oh, no.
What it ruined, like...
It caught my sleeping bag, catches, and fucking...
Does it have your name on it?
So this is the thing, right? the whole time, they're like...
I'd just be like, what, mate?
You can't lie. They're like, if you get caught lying, you're discharged immediately, and you're working on aircraft. Okay. So, like, you have to be honest.
Okay.
So they're like,
I've got a question. Why wouldn't you want to be discharged?
Honestly, looking back on it, probably should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is a roller coaster of a story. Yeah. And it's the saddest roller coaster.
Yeah. I've ever heard. Yeah.
It's so, like every corner is another reason to cry.
Yeah. Like, it was. I was fucking resilient. I didn't give up.
Have you heard this?
So I've seen this washing machine and I'm like, God damn it. Like, everything I touch, I fuck. Like, I just can't get a break. And me fucking sleeping bag's gone. So now I'm, like, nearly hyperventilating. Like, holy fuck. MSIs have come in, which is the military instructors. They've seen this. They've taken my fucking sleeping bag. And I'm just walking up the hallway, just sad. Like, have you seen my sleeping bag? No. What happened? My sleeping bag broke the washing machine. Oh, fuck. Like, it's everyone's reaction. Fuck, dude. Sorry. What did you do? I washed it. You go, really? I washed my sleeping bag. It's fine. Yeah. Walk out. There's this guy, Belzy, flapping the fucking sleeping bag out, giant fucking ripping it. He thought his sleeping bag was my sleeping bag, and he was hanging it out to dry. And I go,
oh, you got a patsy.
I was like, Belzy, did you grab my sleeping bag? He goes, was this yours? I go, I think so. He goes, oh, thank fuck. And just walks away. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, whatever. I walk back in. I put the tag on the sleeping on the washing machine. I tell the instructor. Next day, there's an inspection. Flight sergeant walks in. You just hear her go, "Coin! You fucked up!" I'm standing there. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's done. She goes, "What did you do?" Yeah, I washed my washing bag, like my fucking sleeping bag. She goes, "All right, pull the sleeping bag out." She goes, "Sleeping bag's torn." Okay, yeah. "So you've destroyed two pieces of military equipment." Yeah, yes, flight sergeant. And then she opens on the sleeping bag and she goes, "And it's still fucking dirty." There's still mud in it.
It's still fucking dirty. You could have washed your broken sleeping bag.
Yeah. Mate. She goes, "That was a fucking epic fail. All right, cool." And then she goes, "Sweet." Walks out, walks back in, and then gives me the formal military charge spiel. Like the whole, "You're entitled to this," all of that. And usually they expect people to just shit themselves and freak out. And I did, but I'm autistic. So I was like, "I'm not saying a word. I want a lawyer." And they went, "What?" I went, "I want a lawyer." And they go, "No one ever says that." I go, "Well, that's my rights, isn't it? You just read them out to me." They go, "Yeah." And I go, "I want a lawyer." And the flight sergeant went, like, her eyes went wide because she'd never had anyone fucking stand up to him and go, "I want a lawyer." Yeah. And I was under 18 at that point. And I didn't know this at the time. They couldn't actually do anything to me. I was under the care of the military, but I was still my parents' child.
Yeah, yeah.
So at any point they can go, "Fuck you, we're taking him out of the military." And it was fine. But I didn't know that. So,
have you ever seen A Few Good Men?
No, but I've seen Full Metal Jacket.
the Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah.
A Few Good Men?
Yeah, yeah, I have.
Yeah, where there's a court case because they kill a hopeless soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's you, mate.
Yeah, I know. I'm the hopeless soldier. Yeah, dude. Straight up.
Yeah, old mate Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, yeah.
He orders the two blokes to kill the guy because he's fucking hopeless.
Yeah. There was a guy who was worse. There was a guy that was worse on me than me on the course. So you never want to be the worst.
How did you still do 10 years after this?
Just, it's really fucking hard to fire people in the military. There were people who were more retarded than me. The guy I was talking about, Belzy.
The desk guy.
Yeah, the sleeping bag guy.
Oh, the sleeping bag guy.
He was worse than me, but he had four people in his room who could fix his fuck-ups for him, so it was never an issue. He just got through. But there was one guy on the course who was worse than me, but he got back-coursed. So I was next on the rung.
So what's back-coursed?
It's you're off your current course. You go in what they call it pool flight. So you're in between courses. So your course starts your 10 weeks of basics, and if you fail something or you get injured, you can still be in the military, but you've got to recover, and then you go back onto course when they start that week. So something happened to him. He failed something, had to get back coursed, and then I was the shit fight. That's what they call you, shit fight.
All right. That was some of the saddest bit of stories.
He also left his gun in the shitters one time.
Oh, yeah. I didn't leave the gun in the shitters. I left the gun in the common room.
Oh, and you're taking the shit.
I went to do something because I had real bad fucking ADD and I was never diagnosed. So I was always forgetting stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, they were like, "All right, go do this stuff." And I got up and I left my fucking weapon behind. I nearly got away with it, except someone walked out and was like, "Is this your fucking rifle?" Like one of the other guys on the course in front of the MSI. And I was like, "Yeah, it's my rifle." And then the MSO was like, "Was that your rifle?" I was like, "Yeah." Like, you're charged. And I got court-martialed.
I'm alarmingly not confident with any of our military now.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be.
No, this has scared me.
The guy I was talking about, Belzy, was even worse than me. We got posted to the same unit in Oxy, and I had to train him up. and there's this one thing that you do.
Did they recruit you from some sort of special area?
Newcastle, just down the road.
So, yes.
Yeah. This can't, you get trained up in a week on this particular thing. It's very, very simple. It's perfect for me because it's just the same thing over and over again. It took Belzy 6 weeks before we were like, all right, he can do it. It's like a week's worth of training. Yeah, well, me and him nearly got into a punch-up.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was autistic too, and us autism people, we're like two positive batteries. Like, fucking tismos don't get along.
I picture a...
You say that, but I went through a phase where I used to kickbox, so it wouldn't have been good for him, unfortunately. I used to spar with him. He used to train with me boxing. I used to beat him up. I fucking bloodied up his nose and he stopped doing it with me.
I don't know how to comprehend most of this.
Yeah. Just don't join the military. Yeah.